right. I would like to introduce the first speaker, Mike P. from the Gray Book Step Study Group of NA in the Cape Atlantic area of NA.
Ladies first, not today.
Ladies first, but not today, huh?
Right.
I'm Mike. I'm an addict. God's grace. I'd like to thank everybody here. Thank the committee. Thank Rich. My friends that came with me. We love this retreat. I was asked to speak. And they're like, what topic do you want? I'm like, whatever you want me to do to serve. It doesn't matter. You want the men's wrap or our primary purpose? Whatever you want. So here I am, Sunday morning, two cups of coffee and no food. And you guys are here to listen to me speak. With our primary purpose, you know, our primary purpose, right? But here, I'm here to speak on my experience with it. So it's my experience, the fellowship's experience, and our history with our primary purpose. Carried a message to the act that still suffers. Our sixth tradition tells us property prestige, the vertus from our primary purpose. So we got to understand what we do here, we do freely. Of our own volition. We care. Without our primary purpose, we wouldn't have a fellowship. We wouldn't be reaching our hand out to a newcomer. You know, our primary purpose starts in our home group. You know, when somebody walks through the door hurting, we give them a hug. We give them that hope. You know, our primary purpose is getting our lives together, following these traditions, following these principles, and we learn love, faith, hope, trust, you know, we no longer live our lives in fear. And we become productive members of that society. We read that reading on every meeting. It says, that society. We're not talking about of Narcotics Anonymous. We've become productive members of that society. And we become attractive to members that are coming in. You know, people are amazed if I sit next to a homeless person, you know, give them some food and talk to them. You know, because I know what that's like. I know the pain of homelessness, degradation, fear. And I also know what recovery has gifted me with grace. A fellowship taught me when I came in this last time. Because I was one of those knuckleheads that I had coming in and out for a long time. I got introduced to a lot of people and a lot of recovery in 1984, 1989, through the 90s in and out. Until I finally got here and stayed in 2005. And I've got to travel, I've got to see people, I've got to know my sponsor over there, I've got to know my friend over here. I've gotten to know and see a lot of people. And I know about the bonding of fellowship that we have. It's all about relationships. Relationships, relationships. If I don't come here and apply what I've learned, and I sit stuck where I was. But these people loved me up. I got down where I was with the clothes on my back that weren't even mine. I was 42 years old. You know, I'd given up everything multiple times, and I was done. And they just loved me up from the door. And that feeling of family. I heard many people speak here during this convention, you know, because we're family. You know, there's nothing I want to do for Dennis, Derek, and Mickey over there, Rich over here, and anybody else I come across. If you're hurt and you need help, we are there. We talk about the primary purpose, and we're reading our literature, and we're talking about taking a newcomer to a meeting. You know, don't use, go to a meeting, call me. Don't use, go to a meeting, call me. You know. What's the secret of this program? Don't use, no matter what. The first thing we do in Narcotics Anonymous is not use. And how do we do that when we first come in here? That's something that I had to struggle with. How do I not use? That's all I know. You know, I could get clean. I could get 30 days. I could go into rehab. I could go into detox. I could go into jail. Greatest detoxes ever made. And then I had to follow other people that led the way before me. Because they were there, and they still are. They still go traveling out of area meetings. They still welcome the newcomer. I got out of that program, and it was the New Jersey Regional Convention, and, you know, I was just like, can I get a ride with you? I'll take a bus back, because I had no money for a hotel room, no money for food. I mean, I had no money for nothing, you know? And they took me, put me in a hotel room, paid for my food. I'm like, I can't afford to pay these back. Yeah, you can, because when you could do this, you could do this for somebody else. We could pass on the torch. You can learn your steps. You can learn your traditions. You can write on them. You can read them. You can understand them. But until we start applying these principles in all our affairs, life becomes different for us. We no longer live our life on fear. Our primary purpose is just to help that newcomer. But how do we help a newcomer? They say in our literature that a person with 2 days clean can help that person with 1 day clean. You know, that person with 1 day clean is a miracle. And each one of us, if we're sitting in this amphitheater, is a miracle. We actually come out here in the middle of the woods in the mountains, you know, mosquitoes everywhere, about the size of a house, you know, and we just love each other. And the first time I came to this event, you guys love me, like, welcome me. The gentleman there, I saw him this morning, he's wearing a Uniontown shirt, you know. That was one of the greatest events I ever attended, because out in Pittsburgh, you guys just loved us and welcomed us and friendly, and, you know, got to hear all the history of Narcotics Anonymous. But our primary purpose started back then, because if anybody just got clean, you know, Jimmy Kay and Bob Barrett and all these people, if they just got clean and got their steps and moved on their way, they wouldn't be helping that newcomer. Without their dedication and knowing that this is only going to work as if we do this together. You know, because this whole event's about unity. And our primary purpose is all about unity. Because one person can't keep the world clean, but together we can keep each other clean. And I can't do it without you. And I wasn't able to until I totally surrendered and accepted the fact that I can't do this alone. Because I was a knucklehead. I'll white knuckle it. I'll stay clean by myself. I'll go show my old people I was hanging out with, I'm clean now. Yeah, pass me the joint. So I finally had to give up everything I knew, all my thinking, all my ways, because my way did not work. I tried to find an easier, softer way, you know. And you know what? The truth is, the easiest, softest way is not to fucking use. It's hard work finding ways and means to get more every single day. It's hard work. The love of this fellowship, when we talk about primary purpose, I had to realize it was my sponsor. It was my home group. That's where it starts. You know, asking somebody for help. You know, sometimes you just walk in the room and you just look like you're hurting, you're new, and they can walk up to you and just give you a big old hug. They're like, why are you hugging me? You don't know me. We're hugging you because somebody hugged us. And we're going to do for you what they've done for us and pass that torch on. What good? Oh, I'm going to go here. I'm going to write on these steps. I'm going to apply these principles. I'm going to get a job in a new place. Now I'm good. I'm married with a job and a car. See you, Narcotics Anonymous. I'm good. Narcotics Anonymous would cease to exist. It would cease to exist. Lives are at stake. And I get goosebumps thinking about all the people that have helped me along my journey. And when we talk about worldwide fellowship, I got mailed some t-shirts from India from the first convention down there. You know, I get messages from people from England thanking me for what I do. From far off lands, man. They had a convention recently in Moldavia. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. You know, but they wanted my home group to film a little ditty for them, you know, contacting me so that they could do that during that convention. And, you know, it's these little things like this. It's just like, I could go anywhere in the world, go into Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and know I'm home. I don't even know your language. That's okay. You're going to love me up anyway. But now I got a wife for a translator. I'm good. You know, but that's part of the miracle of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, my story, you know, I don't have any kids because I got clean at 42, right? I didn't get married till I was 49, 50. And we're together for a while. That's okay. I got a nice young wife. Okay, so you're listening to this, Liz. I love you. But we have no kids, right? You know, we talk about it. We think about it. Maybe we're going to adopt something. You know, there's a lot of good we could do in this world. But now at 52, I had to do a lot of work on myself in order to help other people. Because if I'm still a self-centered son of a bitch, you know, it's all about me, ain't nothing going to get done. My life is not going to improve. So now I read books, I study, I go to meetings. You know, when I first started, I had to read that basic text. It works how and why. I did the step working guide a couple times with sponsors. You know, my home group is the great book step study right now. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I had 5 different home groups in the past 12 years because I moved. And because I wanted to change the home groups. You know, sometimes I grow and change, but I know a lot of people. A lot of people have helped me. I just do my share. Whatever I can do, and sometimes I feel I don't do enough. There's always work to be done. There's always somebody that needs help. There's always somebody in pain. And Narcotics Anonymous, we got clean and yet family members die. Friends that we got clean with use. We grow apart sometimes because they're not where I'm at now. But you know what? If they need me, I'm there. You know, our primary purpose is to, whether I agree with you, like you or not like you, I don't know that matters in Narcotics Anonymous. Where else can you go where it doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Palestinian or Arab? In Narcotics Anonymous, when they have these conventions, Irish and Catholic, Protestant, none of that matters, man, because we're united. White, black, you know, Mexicans, we're not building no wall. I'll keep them out because if they're in Narcotics Anonymous, we're going to love them the fuck up. That's right, Donald Trump. In case anybody's listening to the CD, I just gave a finger to my recorder. Hey, like I said, it's Sunday morning, it's pre-food, and it's pretty early, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful event. And I do know that this primary purpose has kept me alive, and kept me alive for a reason. I do believe my higher power had a purpose for me, because, you know, people say, where I used, I should have been dead. Where I used, I was dead. I did die and was brought back to life. Jails, institutions, and death, I've experienced all of them. The degradation, you know, middle-class white boy living in, you know, Washington Heights and South Bronx and Harlem just to get the next one. You know, black families be crossing the street when they see me walking by, you know. That's how fucked up I was. And that's okay. I'm not that person today. This person is caring, loving, kind, and I do my best in my part. Sometimes it falls short. And that's okay. Because we'll never reach that point of where we're perfect role model recovering addicts. There's no such thing. But if we can love each other and help each other stay clean one more day, is there any other greater primary purpose than that? It doesn't matter whether it's Jimmy K starting and keeping this thing open, doors open for us, or it's the newcomer that has 30 days that's picking up somebody out of detox and taking them to a meeting. You know, we have a primary purpose here is just to carry the message to the addict that still suffers. And that includes old-timers and newcomers. You know, the most important person in the room is a newcomer. And whoever's in pain, we have a place to come and share that pain. And that pain gets lessened. And the load gets lighter. And hope is there. Because that's all we have to share is our hope. You know? And our hope is, and our message is, that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Mike. I'd like to introduce the next speaker, Sherry B. from the Just Do It group of NA in the East End area of NA.
Thanks for for getting up so early.
Morning, I'm Sherry and I'm an addict.
Hey, Sherry.
I want to first thank the retreat for asking me to share. It's always an honor to share. We found this retreat, I don't know how long ago. I was trying to figure it out, Rich, and I just can't remember when we found it. But we were looking for something to do, and we found it. And I think I've been coming up here off and on for about, I want to say about 18 years. You know, I don't know. I can't remember. You know, that's what it is when you get old. You just, you know, mind starts going, you know. But, you know, the primary purpose of Narcotics Anonymous is to help the still suffering addict. You know, and I was thinking about this like all weekend. And, you know, my dad used to always tell me, I guess I used to always say I was thinking. And he would say, Cheryl, that's what you get for thinking. You know, and he used to always tell me that. And I guess growing up, I used to always say, I was thinking, and I still do that. You know, well, I was thinking about this. And, you know, the newcomer is the most important person in any meeting. However, if we don't help those old timers who have things that they have to go through, and I'm sharing that because my experience is, along my journey here in Narcotics Anonymous, I came down with another disease. I had hepatitis C, which I'm non-detectable, and I did interferon for like 2.5 years. And as a result of that, not only I smoked for 30 years, but I have emphysema. So now I have another disease. And it's not the same as a drug or alcohol or anything. This is a totally separate, you know, mental, physical disease. And, you know, I have to take certain medicines with that. And I know this is about, like, our primary purpose, but if I can't breathe, I can't live. So I have to be put on steroids at times. And I suffer through that. So to me, like, the primary purpose is to help that person who's still suffering. And at times, that would be me. I ended up in, I went into a steroid psychosis. I lost a total day of my life. I have no clue what happened. My mother and my friend who was living with, I take in stray people, like, you know, stray animals. I take in stray people. And I have a spare room, and every once in a while there's somebody else living there, and she was the person living there at the time, and she found me, and I don't know if I tried to kill myself. I don't know what happened, but I ended up in the psych ward. Well, no. I ended up in ICU for 4 days. Then I ended up in the psych ward for 4 days. And I had like 25 years clean. You know, so, like, the primary purpose is about helping that person who's still suffering. And just because I've been clean since March 24th of 87. I've been around since, like, probably around 85. And my journey has taken me a lot of different places, and I've got involved in service work, and that's been my life. My journey has been helping others. You know, my forte is an H&I. That's only because, for me, I've never been in a rehab or a detox. You know, I got clean, and I did outpatient therapy. You know, and I did go outside the fellowship because I was 25 years old. I had no clue how to live. I had no clue. I was 90 pounds. I had 2 kids. And I woke up. And I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do? How do I cope with this? How do I live? How do I raise 2 daughters? I mean, it was so bad back then that I thought, well, I could give my kids up for adoption. You know, and today I know that, in hindsight, that God got me clean when he did so I could deal with my daughter's addiction. You know, and, but see, I was able to help her. You know, and that was rough. But, you know, this whole weekend was about unity, and like, I was on the East Coast Convention, and you know, that's about buying basic texts for the people in prisons. And, you know, so, like, so cool that everything like has a purpose, you know. And when I got clean, I didn't have a purpose, you know. And you know, I'm 54. I have 25 years at my job. I'm about ready to retire. You know, I did things totally opposite than you. I had kids young. I was 18 and 24, you know, and I'm still single. But, you know, but I have grandbabies now, and you know, I could teach them, and I could teach them how to live, because everything I've learned was through here. You know, even though I had like a little bit of help, you know, because for me, like, I needed more. I needed somebody to get into my brain and to pick it, because I didn't know how to read. I don't know how to say this. Like, I lost the ability to read and write when I walked in these rooms. And I'm not stupid. I'm far from stupid, but that's just where it took me, you know. I didn't do, like, I know we're not supposed to talk about, like, the differences, but, like, my drug of choice was up. I wanted up. I wanted to go, 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 go. I didn't want to sit down. You know, I didn't want to, I looked at people that were nodding, and I'm like, what are you doing? I, you know, like, that's gross. You know what I mean? But that's me. That's my story. And, you know, I brought up my dad because he's been dead for 13 years now, and he died on my birthday, and I wish, like, at times that, like, he could, I know he could see me, you know. And he passed when I was clean, but, you know, I miss those conversations with him. I miss that, like, that relationship we could have had, you know. And maybe I could have helped him, who knows, you know. You know, when I first got clean, I tried to help everybody around me. You know, everybody. Whether they needed it or not, you know? And, like, you come up here, you listen to all the speakers have been very well, very good, very well, not very good. And, you know, and like, Sharon was speaking the other day, and yesterday, and she said, you know, we're here to bring each other up, not put each other down. And, like, in my journey, I've learned to, like, I try not to cuss. You know, this is just me. I try not to cuss. I try not to call people names. I try to do the next right thing. And I don't always do that, but I feel that, like, I know how I feel when somebody calls me a name. Or I know how I feel, like, when somebody's teasing my grandson, you know, and it makes me angry. So I try not to do that. And how else do you, like, embed into somebody what to do but by example? You know, and, you know, I cuss sometimes. I'm sure one time I had a truck driver mouth, you know, but, like, there's so many different, I don't know, I like the English language. There's so many different adjectives you can use except the F-bomb. And that's my personal opinion, you know what I mean? I mean, there's so many adjectives out there, you know, and that's just for me. And I cringe, and that's today. Tomorrow, I could probably care less. You know what I mean? It's all how I am spiritually, emotionally, mentally, you know, and I'm not always spiritually, I'm not always fit. You know, I ended a 7-year relationship about a month ago, and that was like a hard thing to do, and I didn't use. You know, I mean, I lost my father, I didn't use. You know, there's so many people dropping like flies, you know, from this disease, and it breaks my heart. You know, and they're young kids, you know, and there's so much potential. So how can we help them? How can we get them to realize that this is the way of life? You know, however, you can't help somebody that doesn't want help. You know, and I've tried to help different people along my journey, and you know, this one, the woman that was stayed with me that found me, she was doing the other fellowship for a while, and then she decided that it was a cult, you know. And I'm like, okay, if that's what you said. I mean, I know that's an excuse, you know. And, I haven't had coffee yet. And I just did realize, as you were talking, I'm like, man, I'm not hungry yet. But then my stomach starts growling. And I thought I heard your stomach growling. And I'm like, yeah. You know, and then I said, oh, no, it was a bird. It was the bird. But, you know, and sponsorship is a big part of helping the still suffering addict and guiding them and working the steps. And, you know, and I think if you're not, if you're working on something, then you're changing. You know, if I become stagnant, then I'm not working on nothing, and then I'm miserable and I get mean, and I could be very mean when I'm taking steroids, because first of all, you know, it's like a vicious cycle. I can't breathe, so they give me antibiotics. They don't clear it up, so then they put me on steroids. So then I feel like Superwoman. Woo! You know? And then I feel better for a while, and then I come down. And I think, and I don't know if I said this, but I think it's a direct result of the interferon, because it affected the weakest part of my body. And I think I might have gotten it later, probably. If I didn't do the interferon, maybe, I don't know, because I got it now, but, you know, but it's just something else I have to live with. You know, and I'm like, this smoke, I used to love campfires. I used to love to sit around a campfire. I can't do it. I can't, because what happens now is I can breathe, but I can't get the bad air out. So when I hug somebody and they have cologne on, The cologne stays in my lung, and I can't force it back out. Like this smoke, I could breathe it in, but then I can't get the bad air out, so it turns into pneumonia or bronchitis, or I have a flare-up. And it's terrible. You know, but it's something that I live with, you know, back and forth. But, like, all the people that have helped me over the years is phenomenal. It's awesome, you know. And people, like, I don't even know, like somebody else was sharing yesterday, and she brought me up, and I'm like, I don't even like remember doing that. Like, you know, she's like, well, she took me to her house and taught me how to be the secretary of the area. I'm like, oh yeah, I did do that. But, you know, it's like how you have an impact on somebody and not even realizing that you're helping them. Like, that's the best thing ever. You know, that's when you have that joy, that it fills up your heart and you get that love and that peace. And that's where I'm at today. I want to have love, peace, joy. I'm tired of hate. I'm tired of racism. I'm tired of bigotry. I'm tired of all that. I just want it. And if that's the way the world's going, then I'm going to live in my own little world, you know, with the love and the joy and with you people, because you people are all about that. We're all about the love and the joy and peace. And, you know, I could be a hippie, you know. I could be a hippie, barefoot, not pregnant. You know, that would be a double miracle. But, you know, I mean, I missed Woodstock by a little bit, but that probably would have been awesome, you know. But I still like to be barefoot. I'd rather be barefoot. But, like, this weekend was just awesome. And, you know, I sponsor Sharon, and she's a real prevalent part of my recovery. And I told her, I said, I don't want to be around people. She's like, okay. Because, like, last year, I had my grandson with me. I had my daughter with me. I had somebody else with me. And I'm always, like, everybody's with me. You know what I mean? And I didn't want everybody with me. And I don't know if that's selfish or if it's just, I just needed a break. You know, I just needed to be by myself, to get in touch with myself, to be able to deal with the people that I work with. Because, to be honest with you, I'm with them like 40 hours a week. You know, I see them more than I see anybody else. And that's hard. Because they all need a program. You know? And I have to realize that I can't change them, you know? Like, I'm not here to change anybody. I'm here to change me. And then by my changing, hopefully, it spreads, you know? And like volcano, you know, coming down and just spreads. And, you know, I really don't like to speak. I mean, I never really did. But because I don't feel like I have enough to say, you know, and not that I don't know a lot. I know enough to stay clean. You know, I love knowledge. I love wisdom. I love education. You know, I think when I retire from my real job, I'm working on my master's in mental health counseling, and I would like to do help us do DNA, drug and alcohol, and that's my goal, you know, if I'm still like living by then. But I mean, that's, you know, like, this smoke is terrible. And but that's my plan, you know, retire from work for the phone company, retire from there, finish my master's, and then maybe open my own practice, you know. But yeah, I had to have a career, because, you know, you have to do what your parents want. Well, I had to do what my parents wanted. You know, my mother. You know, we're both union people, and we're all union people, I should say. And I'm rambling, so it's time to quit. I'm done. Thanks.